It's great to see you all here. Thank you very much for being with us in person and those who are tuned in via live stream. We are also thankful for you tuning in as well. We've had a great day already. I've been so encouraged. We have a class, of course, that meets in here. When I say meets in here, it's really virtually meeting in here. But George and Bill have a class that happened this morning, and they're talking about today not letting your failures be forever, be final. And it was a very great class. We were able to have a class over in the gym at 9:15, and we talked about Jesus Christ, Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through Him. I hope that you've been able to tune in to Bible class one way or the other. Our children are having Bible class right now. Our teens had Bible class this morning. And so, you know, those things are important. I don't want us for one moment to think that we do not need Bible class. It is very, very critical. To me, it is the time when we can ask questions, when we can be able to grow our faith and be able to develop a stronger faith. But I also believe it's important, obviously, vital for us to be able to be here to worship. And when I mean be here to worship, I'm talking about gathered, whether we're able to do that virtually or in this room. And I'm so thankful for those who are able. I'm so thankful for those who are healthy. You know, in today's day and time, and I want to go ahead and give a preface to this lesson, I gave this sermon a few weeks ago when I was gone to Gulf Shores. And then I shared it on Facebook, so some of you may have heard these words before. Again, it won't be a direct duplicate of what I spoke at Gulf Shores, because this is to the Azalea City Church. But as I was, people had listened to that sermon, they said, hey, you need to present that at our place. And I prayed over it, and I felt like today would have been that time. Because as I look out in our world, and I look out through social media, and I look out through mandates by the government or ordinances by the government, and I see that some are on one side of the fence and some are on the other side of the fence when it comes to the virus and all the precautions that we have to take. And then I look out and I see in the social media world there are those who are for certain groups, and then there are those who are opposed for against certain groups, and those who are for standing and those who are for kneeling, and those who are for Republicans, and those who are for Democrats, and those who are whatever, fill in the blank. I've said that week in and week out. Well, at the end of the day, I've seen it on both sides. And I've seen it from Christians. There's not a lot of kindness going on. There's not a lot of taming of the tongues or fingers, if you will, going on. And if we are a Christian who has spewed hatred, who has spewed those things where everybody who can look through a computer or through a phone or through some type of device, then we need to right some wrongs. We need to make sure that we are saying kind things, that we are being kind, that we are being who God wants us to be. I titled this Focused on Kindness because there's our focus. Even though it's down, we're still focused this year, right? Even though we have a lot of distractions, we've got a lot of focus going on. But I found that graphic, Inspire Kindness. I think it is our duty as Christians to inspire kindness. I think it is our duty as Christians to spread kindness. You know, we talk about the virus being contagious. Kindness is also contagious. And we need to do our part to encourage others. Did you hear what Bubba read to us just a moment ago? I love this in Proverbs chapter 3 right here. I'm going to read all four verses, but Proverbs 3 and 4 that he read to us, I really love. But listen to this. My child, beginning in verse 1. Never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never
let loyalty and kindness leave you. In fact, to remind yourselves, tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Let me say this. I do not think, and by the way, I get it. I get this to a certain extent, okay? When someone says, I don't care what people think about me, I get that to a certain extent. But I think it is our duty to have, as best as we can, a good reputation. Paul said, as much as depends on us, live peaceably with all. We are to be peacemakers, not peace breakers. Hear me out. That doesn't mean I stand for anything out there. No, I've got to have backbone. I've got to have guts. I've got to have courage. And I've got to have conviction so that I stand for what's right. But even when I stand for what's right, I can be kind in the way I stand for what's right. I can be peacemakers for being able to stand for what's right. Jesus Christ is obviously the perfect example. He is the one who, yes, He turned tables over. Yes, He cracked whips. Yes, He called the Pharisees a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones. But He did all that by displaying peace and kindness. And that's who we have to be as Christians. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 16 through 22 here. I say then, and there's going to be a long list of walking in the flesh, right? There's a long list here. This is a compare-contrast between walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit. Walking in darkness, walking in the light. And so we're going to go through a long list of things that really sound very familiar today. Beginning in verse 16, he said, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. In other words, the flesh and the Spirit cannot be in unison together. We're at war. When I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I not only received forgiveness of my sins, but I received the gift of the Spirit. And as long as I walk in the Spirit, I put aside the flesh. That doesn't mean I don't stray and wander and dabble and all that, but ultimately my goal is to live in that light, and I can't have best of both worlds. So, picking up in the Scripture, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary to one another, so you should not do the things that you wish. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, here's that long list, are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the flesh. That's the world. That's everybody out there today that are joining in and doing things that are contrary to God's will. But, Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, imagine if you will, we've got a tree here, and you know, you might see a peach tree, or you might see an apple tree, or whatever kind of tree that produces fruit that you like, okay? And so, you see that, but I don't want you to picture it as peaches, or apples, or lemons, or pears, or whatever. I want you to picture it as a bunch of love, okay? Whether it's a heart or whatever, but this tree is blooming, and it's got hearts everywhere, right? So we pick a heart off of that tree, that's our love, right? We pick a heart off of that tree, and we go and we cut that heart open. You know what's going to pour out of it? Love, yes, but joy, peace, and here's one, patience, kindness. Kindness. Isn't that so neat that the fruit of the Spirit is love, but when you open up that love, there's all these other things, and the one I want us to focus on today is kindness. You see, in a day and time when there are so many people being ugly, and there are so many people being mean, and there are so many people spewing hate, and so many people spewing whatever out there, guess what? We as Christians can shine because we're kind. Not weak. Not spineless. Not gutless. Not sissies. But we are bold, kind servants of the Lord. That's who we're to be. And so as we go into this, I want you to think about some things. The gift of kindness is becoming more and more rare. You remember a time when people held doors open and they smiled at one another and they treated the elderly the right way and things like that. That's happening less and less. I deal with Mobile Christian in a lot of different facets. Okay? On one hand, I wear a hat that I have the chairman of the board hat. But now on the other hand, every day I wear a coach's hat because I help or I do the strength and conditioning for the football team over there. Well, on Friday we have some coaches that are out because they've been exposed or whatever. I've also been a coach for a long time and I've coached positions. And so our head coach asked me to go coach the offensive line that day. So I go over to coach the offensive line. Now, they don't know, but they just know me in the weight room, and they know that guy in there. They don't know how I can go as a coach, and I have one of the seniors tell me they're not going to do what I told them to do because that's how they know. They know disrespect. Well, that didn't fly very well with me, and that was a whole bad deal for him. And I told him, go home and thank God I'm not your position coach. But the reality is, that's where we are today. Kids are disrespectful. My dad did not raise me to be that way. He raised me to yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, look in the eyes and treat adults the right way. And I still strive to do that today. Even though there are some adults that can really frustrate us, right? But we can't let that disrespect that's taught or our children have learned to be something we grow up and portray either. You got people cutting people off in traffic. You got children being taught that being rude is okay. Kindness is being produced far less in the world than it used to be. So, as we think about this, I want you to remember that even though the world is being unkind and the world is being rude and the world is being this and that, we are called to be out of the world. We are called to think differently, to react differently, to be different than the world. We are called to give love, which in return should open up and give kindness. There are people in the world today that need to hear a kind word. There are people in the world today that need to feel a kind touch. There are people in the world today that need to see a warm smile. That's hard to do with a mask on. I get it. Maybe you just paint one on there, right? I don't know. Silly. Terry. People need kindness, and we as Christians must be the ones to provide that kindness. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, we don't have time to read that today, but I would encourage you in your own time to read it. He basically talks about when we are kind to others, guess what that does? That heaps coals of fire on their heads. When we treat others the way and believe, remember that vengeance belongs to God, that we're not out to get revenge and get those things, that's going to pour coals on top of somebody's head. That's the way it's going to make them feel, because it tells us that killing with kindness is alive and well. What is kindness killing? Kindness kills animosity. Kindness kills bitterness. Kindness kills anger. Kindness kills hard feelings. You know what kindness is? Kindness is Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Kindness is Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Anybody ever wrong you? Probably. I've had people wrong me. I've had people hurt me. I've had people, and by the way, a lot of them have never asked for forgiveness. They've never said they're sorry. What does it do for me to hold on to that? It hurts me. It hurts my heart. As Christians, sometimes it's really hard. It's a great challenge. But even as God in Christ forgave you, we ought to forgive one another. Jesus had time to walk on water. He had time to heal the sick. He had time to raise the dead, feed the crowds, make the blind to see, deaf to hear. He went to the cross to provide salvation to the entire world and all that. He never turned those away that wanted to see Him. He was always kind. He always had time to speak a kind word or do a kind deed. Bill and George talked to you this morning about the adulterous woman in John 8. You think about that lady. She was caught in the very act of adultery. I don't think our minds have to wonder very much to know what kind of scene this was, right? She was drug in into a place where they were basically having, as Bill and George said, a Bible class. She's drug in there. Did she have any clothes on? I have no idea. But she was caught in the very act of kindness. I imagine they didn't say, go and get fully dressed. Go get a shower. Go get dressed. They drug her there to stone her. She needed to hear some kindness. She didn't need to hear that she was okay. Did Jesus stand up to her sin? He sure did. He said, go and sin no more. But He also stood up to her accusers. But He didn't hurl insults. He didn't hurl stones. He just spoke the truth in love. Or maybe He just wrote it in love. You see, that's the type of person Jesus is. And that's the type of people He wants us to be. So go back again to Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. Never, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and the people, and you will earn a good reputation. So how can we remind ourselves today? What can we tie around our necks today to remind me? Hey, you're going to go out today. Some of you, again, we may not go out as much as we used to, right? We may go in self-checkout, or we may just say a grocery delivery, whatever it is. But whenever we go out today, will we have an opportunity to embark kindness on someone? You better believe we will. So what are some reminders when we're faced with those opportunities? I'm going to give you three real quick today. Number one, I want you to remind yourself, and I'm going to remind myself, that in my deeds, I must produce kindness. Give kindness in your deeds. You see, there's a reminder to us that great leaders do not crack whips. Great leaders get out in front and lead. Dwight Eisenhower, a great general and president of the United States, He would put a rope out or a string out, and he would tell those people that he was training under leadership. He would put that rope out and he would say, I want you to get behind that rope and push it. Well, it would all bunch up and everything else, and you couldn't push it very far. He said, now get out in front and pull it. And it would go anywhere you wanted it to go. Kindness is great leadership. Great leaders show kindness. They are kind with their words. And people will follow. People will flock to that. In Acts chapter 9, there is a lady who is probably, and I know Justin and I, as we were going through this, we talked about this great lady, Dorcas, Tabitha. But this is a lady, if you want to talk Bible characters, she's probably not in the top 10, maybe not in the top 20, I don't know. But maybe she ought to be. Because I want you to listen to her life. In Acts chapter 9, I want you to look at these verses. Beginning in verse 35. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was, listen to this, full of good works and charitable deeds. Now, if I stop right there, that's a pretty good illustration of a kind person. She was full of good works, and she was full of charitable deeds. But it's not enough to be full of good works and full of charitable or kind deeds, is it? It's not enough just to be full of it. By the way, I think we're all full of it, full of those things. But Luke, who again now, he understood the fine details of things, being a doctor, he said she was full of good works, full of charitable or kind deeds, which she did. Which she did. And I think that's so important there. In fact, I underlined that whole thing, but I bolded or highlighted that part, which she did. I today want to be full of kindness. I want to be full of good things, but I've got to do them. Tabitha did. 37, but it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Now I want you to think about this. Here's a lady, Tabitha Dorcas, maybe not one of those top 10 Bible characters, but she's a great character. She's full of charitable deeds. She's full of good works. She did them. She did them so much that she inspired people with her deeds, with her kindness. They hear, okay, she dies. They prepare the body. They hear that Peter's not far away. So they get two men. Why? Because Peter could raise people from the dead. They knew that. So they go and they get Peter and they said, hey, please don't delay. We want you to come on and do this. Why? Because we need more Tabithas in the world. We need Dorcases in the world. We need kindness in the world. Even 2,000 years ago, they said, please come and raise our Tabitha. Verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garment which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Here was a lady that was full of love, full of charitable deeds, full of good works, and she did them. She sewed tunics, she sewed coats, she sewed blankets, she did all these things for all these widows, and they brought and they said, this is Tabitha. This is what she's done for me. This is what she made me. This is how special she is. This is why we want her back. We need more Tabithas in the world. But Peter put them all out, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and lifted her up. When he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed on the Lord. Now, it ended up being a great thing that people followed Jesus Christ. But why? Why is this story in there? Yes, to prove the awesome power of God. But to remind us, we need to be kind in our deeds. We need to be Tabithas. We need to be full of love, good works, charitable deeds, and we need to do them. Tabitha led by example, and man, what kind of impact did she make? But I'll give you another story in the book of Acts. Flip over to Acts 27, beginning in verse 39. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach on the which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go of the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes. And they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground and the prow struck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim jump, those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to dry land. And the rest, some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Now here's the background of that story. They're in the middle of a hurricane, essentially. Paul is on his way to Rome to be in prison. And he's had this angel come to him and say, all of y'all are going to live, but nobody can jump over. Nobody needs to bail out. Nobody needs to give up. Everybody stay on the boat. And so Paul's told him that, and now it's getting crunch time. this storm is so bad, and they look over and they see this land, and they're like, hey, we can beach this ship and we'll be okay. And they do that, and the whole ship starts breaking apart. Excuse me. And then that soldier says, or the centurion says, hey, we need to just, the soldiers, kill these people. Kill these prisoners except Paul. Centurion said, no, let's just get them all to jump overboard. Well, think about that now. They've been through all this. But even in the hard times, God provided for them, didn't He? He gave them a piece of ship, a piece of board, or something they could float on. But they've been out in the sea all night. They've been in the storm all night. Yes, there's some are criminals, some are prisoners, some are all these bad people, right? But you know what they needed to see when they get to shore, when they get to this land? They needed to see some kindness. They needed to see some hospitality. Their lives have been flipped upside down. They've been in a storm, and they've been tossed to and fro, and the whole thing has been torn apart. Well, if you flip over to chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Now, when they had escaped, they then found out the land was called Malta. Luke said, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. Just when it looked as if there would only be coldness and hurt, all these received warmth, comfort, and kindness from the islanders of Malta. Today, this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, there's going to be someone who's been in a storm, whose life's been flipped upside down. They may look gruff, they may look tough, but you know what they're going to need to see? They're going to need to see some kindness. Those people will be put in front of us. Will we be Tabitha's? Will we be the islanders of Malta? Or are we going to be the world? I know that's one reminder. Our second reminder is this. We need to give kindness in our deeds and in our words. You see, God has put in us a kindness kit. He's built it in all of us. And it starts in our tongue. The devil wants poison and pain to spew from our mouths. But James stated, my brethren, this ought not to be so. We can't allow our mouths or our fingers, which represent our mouths, to dictate poison, to dictate meanness, to dictate evilness. We've got to allow kindness to come. Now that might mean that we just don't post anything. That's okay too. But we got to understand that our mouths, our tongues matter. In Ruth chapter 1, Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah have all witnessed death. They've all witnessed hurt. They've all witnessed pain. Naomi's encouraged the girls, that is Orpah and Ruth, to go home. In fact, and these are the words that are recorded beginning in verse 14 of chapter 1. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law, this is now Naomi to Ruth, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Just go home, Ruth. We've all been through this. It's all been terrible. Please just go back to your family. But Ruth said, again, kindness with our words, right? Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. When you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth gave kindness by speaking kindness to her mother-in-law, Naomi. You know what, though? That's such a great passage, and that's been used in weddings and in all kinds of different places. And it's not a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband. It's a daughter-in-law to a mother-in-law. but because of those words. Listen to what happens. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me? I am a foreigner." Boaz answered and said to her, "Do not miss this. It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." You see, kind words matter. They matter to the people you're speaking them to, but most of all, they matter to our God. All of it came back full fold to Ruth as it was reported back to Boaz. We need to use our tongues every day to build up rather than bring down. Finally this morning, and this is where it stems from, right? Kindness in our deeds, kindness in our words. We need to tie it around our necks and remind ourselves that we got to give kindness with our hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know that as the love chapter of the Bible, right? Love is all those things. One of them, Paul says, is love is kind. As I said earlier in Galatians chapter 5, Paul told us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. We go pick off a heart off our fruit, off our love tree, off our spirit tree, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. We crack open the love, and there lies kindness. It comes from the heart. Love comes from Christ. Kindness comes from love. In Matthew chapter 8, our last passage of the day, beginning in verse 1, when He had come down from the mountain, that He is Jesus, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Then Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus is God. In John chapter 1, John records there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God. God is Jesus. On earth, Jesus Christ said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." So I do not want you to think for one moment that Jesus Christ could not have healed this leprous man any way he so desired. He could have healed him any way he wanted, right? He could have thought it. He could have spoke it. He could have wiggled his ears. He could have wiggled his toes. He could have snapped his fingers. He could have pointed. He could have done whatever he wanted because he was God and healed this leprous man. But the way he chose to heal that leprous man was to touch him, because that man had gone so long without knowing what human touch ever felt like. Because he was a leper, he had to go everywhere shouting, "I'm unclean, I'm unclean. Don't touch me. Don't be around me. You don't want this." And that was his life. But Jesus is coming down the mountain And he sees Jesus and he says, that man will show me kindness. That man will take care of me. That man can heal me. And Jesus knew all that. And he still reached out and he touched that man. There are going to be people all around us. They don't look like us. They don't talk like us. They don't smell like us. But they need us to reach out a hand of kindness. It starts in the heart. If we've got a kind problem, we've got a heart problem. If we've got a heart problem, we've got a Jesus problem. The good news is today, if our hearts have said, don't speak kindness, don't show kindness, and I've got to change your heart right now, the same one that reached out to that leprous man is ready to reach out to you. He can change your heart. He can change your tongue. He can change your actions. Submit your life to Him. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Come home today. Be kind today. Let's start right now together. We stand and sing.